Just in time for summer, the folks at Epic Brewing have released a new canned cocktail, the Utah Margarita. A delicious blend of real lime and agave, the Utah Margarita is ready to drink by the river or in the park. And here's the kicker, no need to buy it at a liquor store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or visit Epic Brewing on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Today on CityCast Salt Lake, it's the Friday after Election Day, and we are still getting caught up because these votes are trickling in. Former County Council member Shireen Gourbani is here to talk about what's going down in some of the local races and the election generally. Today's Friday, November 11th, 2022. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Hey, Shireen.
Hi.
Wait, okay, before we get into the news, I want to invite you to something. So we just had our 200th episode.
Wow. Okay.
You'll be excited to know it was our actual 200th episode was entitled Salt Lake County's Budget Isn't Sexy.
Well, that's the truth. But I guess it depends, you know. The thing about sexuality is that there is something for everybody. So somewhere, for someone, it's the sexiest big old budget you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
For people who are really into capital improvements, it's the sexiest budget they've ever seen for contractors.
Yeah, and also if you're, you know, kind of thinking, taking it as a whole, there are some really good bits in there.
That's true. Well, so we're going to celebrate our 200th episode by doing a bit of like a relaunch party. And I want to invite you because you're fun at a party. And I also want to invite everyone listening. So it's Thursday, November 17th, which is basically a week from today.
Fantastic.
From 7 to 9 p.m. at the New Quarters in Sugar House.
Okay. Love this for so many reasons. My favorite game to play, maybe on earth, skee ball. They've got it.
I have great news for you because we're going to have a skee ball tournament.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I feel like next—
And drinks are on
next
us.
Next thing you know, the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to tell me I get to come back and talk about my favorite salad in town.
Oh my God. I had a feeling you would sneak that in. We will discuss later whether or not you can talk about your favorite salad. But speaking of favorite salads, should we talk about midterm elections in Salt Lake County 2022? How are you doing? Are you in recovery?
I have to say, I was really feeling, for those who do not know, I used to be on the county council in 2020. I was on the ballot, and it was a wild ride that a number of people who are on the ballot right now are probably experiencing, where on election day, it's hard for me to remember the numbers, but I think I was up like 54% and ultimately lost that election by just over, I think it was 1,200 votes, basically. So it was a ordeal that went on for the entirety of the time that ballots were being counted. And ultimately, I have to say, it's a very confusing process because you try to predict like, oh, you know, maybe Democrats are the ones who are filling out their ballots at the last minute, or maybe it's Republicans, or what's going on. Really hard to understand the trends and what's happening with those votes that are getting counted later. So it's a wild ride. So many things are deeply improved not being in the political space, but I kind of felt like I was over it. And then on election day, I just had a corporal experience of just deep body stress. And I was like, oh yeah, this is back, because it's hard to both, I think, continue to encourage people and help people understand why their votes matter so much and continue to see such disappointing results in many places. But this was a really interesting midterm because I, you know, all signs across the entire summer, even with the fall of Roe and all these kind of different things. You know, I think the sentiment was largely that we would see this red wave come crashing across the entire country.
Right. I mean, I personally thought it was going to be an absolute bloodbath for Democrats.
Yeah. And the truth is, it just wasn't. What's happening in Utah, I'm really curious about. And our voter turnout is low right now. Those numbers will change as more, there are a number of ballots to still be counted in Salt Lake County, I know. But I get why people maybe, you know, stayed home. But I also just have to continue to make the plug for voting and how important it is to vote in every election and to get educated on the issues. But anyway, what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think we should say, like, yeah, we're here to kind of speculate and talk about emerging trends. But of course, anything could change at any minute because there are still a lot of ballots outstanding, specifically in Salt Lake County. It does seem like, according to the clerk, like people voted kind of late. Like they didn't turn in their ballots early or weeks early. Like they turned in their ballot right at that kind of 8 p.m. deadline on either postmarked it Monday or dropped it off Tuesday. And so that's delayed the count. Yeah. And yeah, to your point, like we don't know what's in those ballots, right? Like track your ballot, I think, is the number one thing right now before we get into any of this. Like
yes.
Track your ballot, make sure that it has arrived and been counted, that your signature was verified, that everything is squared away.
So a couple things on that. So you can go to vote.utah.gov and you'll be able to see where you can track your ballot. It's likely if you were a person who sent it in the week before the election or dropped it off on election day, that may take 10 days to show up as counted. Mm. So if you go in and see, what you'll see is it'll say your ballot was mailed to you. Do not stress. But I do think, honestly, come back in a week and check in again maybe on Monday and see if your, you know, if your ballot's been counted, and honestly, maybe check again on Friday. So this can be a disconcerting process because it can take a while to register in the system, but give it that tracking. And then maybe we should talk a little bit about what happens if your ballot is rejected, even though this is a really low occurrence in Salt Lake County. But we've been out running down signatures to get affidavits to basically say, yes, that was me. If you voted provisionally, you'll be contacted and asked to verify your existence, like who you are. That is a process that you will, you'll be, if you left your contact information on the ballot, if you go in to track your ballot, you'll be able to see if you're one of those very few people. But honestly, that usually comes down to just less than a couple thousand in Salt Lake County. Yeah. I think last year it was really down to just about 1,000. So that's an uncommon occurrence. But if you are asked to sign an affidavit, you can either go to the clerk's office or somebody will likely come to you to try to get you to sign that.
And I've been thinking a lot about how much misinformation there is right in Salt Lake County about voter fraud and voting generally. And I think that's probably going to make chasing ballots really difficult and really confusing for a lot of candidates and campaign teams this year. And that could be a real result of some of that misinformation.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I will just say the process that our clerk goes through, so I know Salt Lake County well, and just to be able to say, like, down to the actual number, like 200 were rejected because, you know, people put two ballots inside of one envelope, for example, like that's occasionally happens. And then those are rejected. But down to just absolutely like minute detail, our county clerk can tell you why, you know, particular ballots weren't counted. And it is a fraction of a percent. Almost every vote gets counted in Salt Lake County because they do such a good job. Signature verification, running down affidavits, making sure that people know the process they need to go through to make sure their vote was counted. So huge shout out and deep love for the Salt Lake County Clerk's Office. And I do hope that we see that, you know, continue to be in the leadership of, at this point, it would be Lanny Chapman, who is a phenomenal candidate and would just be a really great asset to continuing the transparency and accuracy that we're seeing there.
Okay, let's talk about some of these results. You brought up Lanny. One of the things that I've just been noticing is with the ballots that we've got counted and with the information we've got right now, in the county, Democrats are performing better than I would have expected, right? We're seeing like the potential for like Democrat Suzanne Harrison to take a seat on the county council. That would be a flip. Some of the big like district attorney, county clerk, some of these big races Democrats are holding. And yet in these state house races that are also in the county, Democrats appear to be underperforming. Like Claire Collard, Elizabeth Waite, some of these, you know, incumbent candidates are currently down. What do you make of that?
Yeah. Well, okay, so I just also want to give just a deep shout out to both Claire and Liz Waite, who are phenomenal representatives, deep community servants who've worked really hard. But I think a part of this is, you know, new districts. So I would say gerrymandered districts, but in general, new districts mean that you're pushed into, you know, communities where you haven't quite had the time or the length of relationship that you've had in some of those other districts, right? So for 10 years, they were in a particular area, and now that's changed. And in some cases, you know, you get a large new community that just doesn't know you. And so much, I think, of the work of Democrats in this state has really been driving that individual trust and understanding and showing up and working really hard. And it's tough, I think, when you don't have those kind of built-in relationships or you haven't had that ongoing connection with a community to help sort of reintroduce yourself and really get away from what are deeply entrenched and ingrained ideas about partisanship. So, you know, I'm certain people listening to this have things they could pop off about how they feel about Republicans or Democrats, but really moving into a place where it's like, no, this individual person is representing me and here's the work that they're doing on my behalf. Those relationships take time to build. And I'm sorry to, you know, see this, but I also just have to say these races aren't over.
Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. A delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave, and they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. We talk a lot on this show about our city's crown jewels. What are the institutions that open doors in our community and regulate its pulse? I choose Salt Lake Community College. And it is a home for incredibly focused Salt Lakers. Nearly 80% of their students work while going to school, many full-time jobs. If I could do college all over again, I would not be 33 and sitting on these damn student loans. And slick students aren't. 80% graduate with little to no student loan debt or save thousands knocking out credits before transferring to a four-year institution. Every day, Salt Lake Community College is transforming lives and communities through education. If you want to learn something new, refine a trade, or pursue a higher degree for the first time, explore your options at slcc.edu. Study alongside hard workers, save precious money, and be one in a class of 19, not 100. Is there anything about these early results in Salt Lake County that's surprising you?
I just think the low turnout is surprising me, but not exactly, considering times, you know, are tough for a lot of people. And I do believe that there's, you know, people aren't as into voting or the democratic process as I am or as you are. Probably as most of our listeners are, people who are engaged in, you know, these ongoing conversations about place and politics. I think it's shocking that people would not fill out their ballot when it's sitting right there in front of them. But I also understand if you're, you know, trying to make ends meet, working a couple jobs, or you just feel like no one out there is really fighting for you, it can be disincentivizing to get engaged in the process. So I understand all of that. I have to say the thing that I think is really interesting on our ballot this year and kind of a broader trend that is popping up in some different places, it was the pretty resounding rejection of the constitutional amendment to give the legislature more power.
Yeah, Amendment A.
Amendment A. There are these polls, you know, to ask Utah voters what they care about most or sort of their perceptions. And one of the things that's starting to pop up is this notion that the basically people in power, the legislature, does not, you know, care about them. And I think about this kind of as a interesting alignment in some of that sentiment, right? Like, no, we don't want you to have more power. But then people right. go out and vote for Republicans to continue to entrench a supermajority, which is a great way to just let them do whatever they want. So right. it's a confusing landscape. But I think there are some hints of, you know, discontent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something that, like, I know we've seen a lot of in Salt Lake County in the past is just people kind of filling out the top of their ballot and not making it all the way down. That especially happens during when, you know, there's a presidential election. But one of the things that was interesting to me, and I think Robert Gerke at the Salt Lake Tribune pointed this out on his Twitter, which is the results so far for judges on the ballot are really aligned with some of the reviews that we've seen at the JPEC. What is it? The Judicial Performance Evaluation Committee, which was kind of a new thing.
Yeah. Well, it's not a new thing. It's been around a while.
Has it really?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Why do I feel like it's new?
I think because they got a better URL. And so it was okay. easy to find. Yeah. But this is a process that's been going on where you can go in and you can look at their scores. And the scores are based on a number of different factors. If you haven't been, I think it is actually just know your judges. I think that's what they put together, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it really helped people understand. And I have to say, I'm in my little world of my little Instagram. I, you know, left it in my highlights, but up to the last minute, people were asking, how do I find information on the judges? What do I do? And I do think people yeah. really wanted to be educated and vote their whole ballot. So it's a really incredible community resource that we have, but I do have some suspicions about it. I think you do too. What did you see?
Well, so this is something that actually everyone on our team pointed out, which is perhaps a little bit of sexism in the reviews, like reading the descriptions for the female judges versus the male judges. Almost all of the female judges' reviews pointed to, like, temperament. Were they – some of the words I saw popping up a lot were, like, she was impatient. She's abrupt. Like, this is her courtroom manner. This is how she makes people feel. And, I mean, right?
Yeah. So I will say I do think the lowest score was for a male judge.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
However – I would love for some investigative journalist to go through, because these scores, I do believe you could go through the backlog and take a look at previous years. My perception as well was that there were some female judges that I perceived to be that got very high scores, but more of them seem to have scores down in the 80s, which is kind of unusual in the whole thing. So I would love someone yeah. to do a deep dive analysis on this and really get into what is happening and is there sexism embedded in it, which would just be very on point for Utah.
Yeah. Well, you know, consistently ranked the worst state in the nation for women.
That's right.
So. But I do think the key takeaway from that sort of alignment between how people are voting on judges and the resources they're given says to me, people like voting resources. Like, people maybe would be more willing to be excited about some of this down ballot stuff if they felt like there were places they could easily turn for information besides a candidate's website. Because it can be exhausting to be sorting through these candidate websites and they're all laid out in a way that, you know, they're vague. They're deeply vague.
They're vague. Well, and let us also dive into our text messages back and forth. Do you remember when we were first chatting about Amendment A and I went to the official Utah voter guide. Do you remember what it said about Amendment A?
Very little, if I remember correctly.
Like, no argument has been submitted.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right.
And thank goodness yeah. we have people like Gerke and others who are writing up pieces to help the public understand these items. But when you go to the official voter guide and there's nothing there, that's a problem, mm-hmm. right? But I do right. think, you know, we need more than that. And on my stories, I directed people to, for me, I mean, an important issue, obviously, now and always is reproductive access to reproductive health care. So I looked at the Planned Parenthood endorsed candidates. I looked at the labor endorsed candidates. I tried to provide links mm-hmm. and resources, but people really struggle to find them. I have to give a shout out to a friend of mine who said, I put together a spreadsheet based on all of the links that you sent, and I felt like I was able to make a great decision. But we need an institution, some place where people can go to really get a sense of where these candidates are. And I would love to see that from a progressive, you know, standpoint. Like, who are your most progressive options, even in places mm-hmm. where, you know, we might have complicated histories with these individuals, or, you know, not to suggest that all Democrats are progressive, but no Democrats on the ballot. What are you supposed to do? How do you make a choice? And that was a question that kept coming up with the state treasurer as well, where there's just confusion about what's the most power you can have with your vote.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I got a lot of texts leading up to Election Day from people who were like, who is David Muir?
Yeah.
Like, who are these people? And like, let me be clear. I got a lot of texts that were like, who is Evan McMullen?
I know.
Right? Like, top of the ballot, Mike Lee, Evan McMullen, those were the two names. And a lot of people felt like they didn't know who that guy was.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of work to be done to reach people. And I don't think we can talk about turnout without talking about information and misinformation, because I do think they're prime partner.
Yeah, that's right.
On that note, do you want to talk about Evan McMullen?
Sure.
I don't. I mean, you know, we've been talking about this race, and I think it's sort of like taking up a lot of space in the discourse about turnout. The thing that I want to ask you about in the wake of Evan McMullen on the ballot is this tweet from former U.S. Congressman Ben McAdams, also the former Salt Lake County mayor, saying that what this race tells us is that the way forward in this state for Democrats is to be more moderate.
Oh, interesting. So I would say, to me, I think the way forward is building coalitions, mm-hmm. right? And I think to build a coalition, you have to have a value base around compromise, honestly, right? You have to be able to navigate bringing people with competing priorities together to move forward. Mm-hmm. We can get into that. I have lots of thoughts about that. I think I was probably openly one of the more progressive congressional candidates that we've seen in a while. And the feedback, just based on the amount of money that I was able to raise and the way that the votes changed in the second congressional district, would suggest that there is an appetite for maybe a more populist progressive message. But I do think that when we're talking statewide, Utah, it is a red state. So how are you peeling people off? And I don't know, there's so much to sort out. Like, I'm so proud that we had somebody who really gave insurrection curious, if not participating, Mike Lee an actual run for his money. This is the most successful Senate race we've had in 50 years. That happened. You know, you and I both know that for a fraction of that money, we could see a much more representative body of candidates at city council level, school boards. You know, you could take those dollars a lot further in these local races. I think that's frustrating about all this. But I also think that what we've been seeing from statewide Democrats is incredible candidates getting crushed over and over again. And I do think it was time to try something new. But what we learned from that, I think, is kind of TBD.
I mean, I think the thing I would say is just, I'm always a little bit cautious when people start really revving up their engines to talk about how being moderate is the way of the future in this state, because, again, voter turnout is one of the most important things. And we saw in 2018 that voters turned out to vote on a slew of really progressive issues that were on their ballot: Medicaid expansion, medical marijuana, an independent redistricting body. And so it does feel like there is an appetite to get into some of these meatier issues that I think have been aligned as being more progressive. I don't even know if I believe that. And so when we look at a race like this, where it felt like issues weren't discussed, I'm wary of seeing that as our barometer.
Yeah, I understand that. I will also say, I think what's happened is that we have these identity battles that are not really grounded at all in policy. And Democrats and even progressives, you know, really like policy, really like ideas that can be turned into action, that can change people's lives. That is not the kind of stuff that gets people riled up that often.
Yeah. Right now, Utah voters seem more excited about ideas than people. And that feels key moving forward.
Yeah.
Again, we are not going to get results in a lot of these races for a while. They could have shifted by the time this episode publishes.
That's right.
So track your ballot, go for a walk, and just know that at this point it's out of our hands.
But you could come to the party next Thursday if you want to commiserate about it. We should know more by then.
That's right. I'll kick your butt at skee ball and it'll make you feel better.
That's right.
Shireen, speaking of which, what are you doing this weekend? How are you distracting yourself this weekend?
So this weekend is going to be a good one. I am planning to probably wander downtown and maybe, you know, slip into the Green Room, a new bar, maybe grab a drink there.
Yep.
But I'm also definitely going to be at Commonwealth on Saturday night to see one of my favorite bands, Lucius. Very excited about that. And then, you know, enjoying cool but nice weather and getting out for a run. How about you?
Yeah. So I have a similar weekend plan, kind of just bopping around town. But one of the things I'm really excited for is this Saturday morning is the Wild Earth Market. And I know, oh, I think we've been to that. We went to that together, the last one. It is always popping off.
With great items.
With great items. It's an artisan market, and like people start lining up around the corner. But it's Wild Earth Market on Instagram, and you can kind of knock out all your, I hate to say it, I feel like people are going to be like, oh my God, you said the C word.
Yeah.
Not that one, this one. Christmas shopping. You can knock out your Christmas shopping. And this year they're giving 10% of all their proceeds to Save Our Great Salt Lake. So that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah, I love it.
Anyways, thanks for your time, Shireen. Thanks for running in 2020 and sharing this wisdom. We'll just be keeping an eye on things.
All right. Sounds good. Bye now.
That's all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. Our lead producer is Emily Means. Our producer is Ivana Martinez. Our newsletter editor is Therina Ria. And our host is me, Ali Vallarta. Music is by the local band Mitochondria. And they are fabulous. We will be back Monday morning with more from around this city. I hope you do something very, very chill this weekend. Bye.